Welcome to the Authentic Persuasion Show, a place where business and thought leaders come to weigh in on important sales-related topics that you can use in your sales career and life. I'm your host, Jason Cutter. My mission is to get your help in changing sales from something prospects fear to an act of service they actually seek out and appreciate. Whether you're in sales, leading sales teams, or own a business, I hope this helps you improve your selling effectiveness and you can go out into the world as an authentic persuader. Hey there, in this episode of the Authentic Persuasion Show, you are going to listen to a replay of the Authentic Persuasion training sessions that are live each week. So in this replay, I'm taking that session, having it here so that you can listen to it, take notes, replay it, digest it, and then put these things into action. If you'd like, make sure to set your calendars for Fridays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific, so that you can tune in live. If you want to register and sign up for free, make sure to go to jasoncutter.com, and there's a link on there. Or you can email me, jason@cutterconsultinggroup.com as well, and I can get you the information for signing up. All right, hope you have your notepad ready to go. Let's dive into this replay of the Authentic Persuasion training session. Hey, what's going on, everybody? Happy Friday, middle of October, October 15th. This is the Authentic Persuasion live weekly training session. This is session number 9, and super excited to be here with everyone tuning in. If you're watching this on Facebook, LinkedIn, YouTube as a live stream right now, welcome. You can put things in the chat, although I might not see it. Best thing to do if you haven't already is join the Zoom webinar and use that link. And then you can chat with me directly, become part of the conversation, ask questions, talk about sales. Let me know your feedback. So wherever you're watching this, if you're watching this live or you're watching the replay, welcome. My goal in doing this and doing these training sections and sessions is to share what I can to help empower over a million people and encourage them to become authentic persuaders. Because when we do that, when we all work together, that will shift the way sales is done. And then what will happen is that will shift the way that the consumers out there in the world engage with salespeople and what they think about it. Because let's be honest, and I mention this a lot, and a lot of people can relate to this, sales is gross when it's done wrong. When it's done by a salesperson and using the old school tactics, then it's something that's done to somebody on behalf of the salesperson and their own motivation, and not something that's done for or with the consumer on their behalf to benefit them and the salesperson and the company. So what happens is sales has a bad reputation. It's up to all of us to change it. And that's why I do this. The other part is that on my mission, for me, it's to facilitate transformation by an encouraging and enabling light bulb moments. You know, that time where you learn something, you put it in place, it works, that's amazing, and you want to do more of it. I want to be a part of that and facilitate that. I also want to help the underdog win their game, whatever game they are playing, help them feel like they can succeed and win, even if they don't think they can right now. I know it's very possible. I know anything is possible based on what I've been through in life, where I started as a kid and where I am now. Anything is possible. And then I also want to leave people better off than I found them, which is why I do these trainings, which is why I give out as much information I can. I do the podcast, my books, everything I can to help leave people better than I found them. So welcome. Again, this is session 9. So what I want to do first, like I always do each week, is I want to recap what we talked about last time, which is super important. And if you want to check out session number 8, make sure to either find one of my feeds, again, Facebook, LinkedIn, or YouTube. So you can find session 8 on there. You can also go to any podcast player or any podcast streaming device that you're using and find the Authentic Persuasion Show. I take these episodes, these conversations that I have on Fridays, and then replay them as podcast episodes on the following Monday. So you can go back, look at this previous Mondays, and that will be session 8. So check that out. Or you can always email me and I can send you some links if you want, jason@cutterconsultinggroup.com. So let's recap session 8, which was super important. It was the beginning of the discussion about empathy. And today I'm actually going to continue that because I think it's a topic that is a two-parter, if you will. There's a lot to cover. So we started the discussion a couple weeks ago and introducing the authentic persuasion pathway. So since I wrote the book, I have developed even more and more of this framework of the authentic persuasion pathway. And this is something that you can use in any sales conversation, in anything that you're doing, where there's persuading, there's sales, and keep in mind, everything in life is sales. So you could use it anywhere you want. It's not meant to replace a sales process. If you have a process at your company or something your company has given you or something you know works, this is there to supplement and add to it and hopefully give you some new ways to frame it up and then help with transitions and help with what matters most, the important parts of the sales conversation, the fundamental things that have to happen every single time. That's the key. And there's five of them. And so far we covered rapport. And then last week we started the discussion on empathy, which we're going to cover. Now, why do I call it empathy? Well, it's technically, it's the discovery, probing, question asking phase of any selling conversation where you want to help somebody. Now, a lot of people in sales just gloss over it. They just check the box. They think, I got to ask some questions. My boss told me to ask them. Then I'm just going to move on because I don't want to ask a lot of questions. I don't want it to feel like I'm digging too deeply. Other people in sales, they check the box on the questions. They go through that process. They ask some questions, but they don't really care. And the reason why they don't care is because they feel like what they're selling is so amazing that it doesn't really matter if you, the potential buyer, wants it or how it would actually help you. It doesn't matter because everyone should want it and everybody should need this and everyone should buy it. And so when a salesperson or a company falls in love with their product or service, a lot of times they gloss over the question asking process. And that is really detrimental to so many people's sales careers. And the reason why, and this is why I call it the empathy step, which we're going to dive into more today, is because in that mode, when you're asking questions and when it's done right, where you're asking questions to get to the heart of the matter, the root of what it is they want, the goal that they want to achieve, the pain they want to get out of, when you do that, and you use active listening. That is the key, right? That's the other part that a lot of people don't do. They ask questions. All they can think about is what they're going to say next. They don't really care what the answers are, or they're not really listening. But when you use active listening to actually listen to what people say, again, two ears, one mouth, you should be listening twice as much as you should be talking. When you do that, it will actually translate to the other person that you care about them. Right? When you're asking questions and you're listening and then responding appropriately, that will feel like empathy. That will feel like caring. Now, hopefully you actually care and hopefully you're actually empathetic and you do actually want to help people and you do want to do sales in a way that benefits that potential customer and not just something you're doing to them. I see some people try to pretend to have empathy and pretend to care. Those deals never work out. They always fall apart. People can detect that. So it has to be sincerity. That's why I wrote the book and titled it the way I did, which is Authentic Persuasion, right? If it's inauthentic persuasion, that's dirty, that's gross. That's what salespeople have done for a long time, is persuade, manipulate in inauthentic ways just to achieve their own goal. So we're talking about authentic empathy. We're talking about doing it in a way where it benefits the customer and hopefully yourself, if it makes sense. And that is the key. Now, that was session 8. Again, if you haven't watched that or listened to it, make sure to check it out. There's replays everywhere, like I said. And if you have any questions on that, or if you want my guide regarding empathy and asking questions, email me, jason@cutterconsultinggroup.com. Happy to send that to you. And if you don't have a copy of Selling with Authentic Persuasion, at the end, I'm going to tell you how to get it for free. All you got to do is cover shipping and I will send you an autographed copy of it so that you've got it and you can read through it and hopefully help with your sales. All right. So week 9, session 9, let's talk about it. And we're going to continue the discussion about empathy, and that setup there is to help you understand where we're going next. Here's one of the biggest things that I get a lot from people who either are classically trained, and classically, I don't mean in a good way. You know, they think sales is this certain thing that you're supposed to do to people. They're either classically trained in that, or they've seen sales enough where they think that's what sales is. And I tell them this conversation. I have this conversation around empathy. And what happens is people are concerned. They think they can't be successful with that. They think in their mind, sales, again, which leads to most people thinking it's a dirty word, sales can't include caring about other people. Or what happens, and this is where order takers kind of get stuck. And again, order taker, it's a term I use, and it's a state of condition. It's a state of selling effectiveness. It's not a scarlet letter for life about what somebody is in sales, right? And it's not a negative connotation. I think the key is that if you're selling like an order taker and you're acting like an order taker in your sales role, then the first part is you're aware of that and then move away from that and then become a sales professional, right? Like the subtitle of the book, transform from order taker to quota breaker, transform from order taker to deal maker. And that is my goal for you. So the challenge is that a lot of order taking salespeople who are stuck in order taking mode and aren't sure how to get out of it, they think that caring is good, but caring doesn't lead to their success. And they think that's what's getting in the way. If they just cared less what happened to their customers, then they could close more deals. And again, caring less about your customers equals that dirty side of sales, the classic, the snake oil salesman, the used car mode that people think about, which isn't fair to all used car salespeople, but it's the visual that everyone gets in their mind when they think about sales in an inappropriate way. And so most people think that you can't care about your prospects and sell at a very high level. And I completely disagree. I think the key is there's a couple main factors. And I wrote about this in the book in chapter 15, talking about empathizing for success. So it's not just about doing the step, not just discovery and probing and question asking and doing the empathy step in the authentic persuasion pathway and then using that to close more deals, but actually empathizing for success. And really it comes down to question I get a lot is, should I care? And the answer is absolutely yes. Please do. I think that's one of the biggest things is that I want you to care about your prospective customer in many different categories. And that will lead to many different things that you'll do different in your sales process. The challenge is people think if I care, then I've just got to like give them some information and then let them decide, because that would be caring, right? No pressure, no urgency, no gross stuff, no closing lines. I just got to do that. The key is though, is you need to care, like need to care. They want you to care. What they're looking for is somebody who cares about them enough to help them in a way that's important and good for them. And that's the big difference, is you want to make sure that you do care and you want to use that empathy so that you can help them, right? That caring step is so, so important. Now, there are some downsides and some upsides for caring. And of course, if you have cared about people in your life or in your sales process, then you know what it's like when it works or when it doesn't work. The downside for caring is that a lot of times we can get too attached and take things too personal, or we think that, you know, if we care about someone, then we have to stop the process in the sales mode that we're going down. And then that leads us again to be stuck order takers, hoping that the other person buys. And so that's one of the downsides. Another downside is that when you're caring about someone, a lot of times, if you're not careful, it could be so much about caring for their outcome and they see you as this caring individual and not so much as a sales professional. So it's always that blend. It's always that momentum and movement forward where you care about them as a professional that's going to help them move forward, right? So it's not just I care and here we are. It's I care, so we're going to do this because I care. I'm going to help you get over here, right? And leave people better than you found them, no matter what. And that's really how you win at caring. And that sounds weird, right? How do you win by caring about someone? Well, you do it because it's both the caring and the action. It's why, again, the title of the book and what I have trademarked is authentic persuasion. Not just being authentic, right? It's not authentic nothing. It's not just caring, because that will be nice and you'll have lots of relationships and lots of friendships and lots of people you care about, and there'll be lots of empathy and you'll be very authentic to yourself. But that second part is so important, which is the persuasion, which is the tangible act and mode that you're in, where you're helping the right people move forward to a better solution. And that's really the key. And that's how you do it. Winning by caring means asking questions, listening, helping them feel that you care. And it's not just about telling them, hey, John, so I really care about you, so I'm going to try to help you today, right? Like, unless you have enough of a relationship, that's going to sound weird and feel weird. So don't want to do that. You're not labeling it. You don't have to say, hey, I'm going to do my empathy step with you now, and I'm going to show you that I care, and I'm going to ask you a bunch of questions, and that's what we're going to do, right? It's not about that. It's about you knowing your intent, you knowing what you're doing around that, and then you following through with that process. And so that's the big thing. That's where I want to leave the empathy step, which is helping you understand that it is okay to care. It is important to care. The world needs you to care. And when you care about the best outcome for your prospects, it's not just about helping them and then you losing, right? It's not win-lose, where they're winning and you're losing. It's about helping them win. And then if you can do that with your product or service, with what your company sells or what you sell, then you're both going to win, right? And then it's beneficial to everybody. Or if you can't help them, right? They have a square peg problem and you have a round peg solution, then care about them, help them find a better solution or send them on a different path. Know that you did the right thing and then move on, right? Which then segues into the next part. And this is super important as a part of this formula that is really key. If you want to be successful in sales as a professional long term, and you want to follow the authentic persuasion pathway and the framework, and you want to use empathy, and you want to use the things that we're going to talk about in future sessions, which are other parts of the authentic persuasion pathway that are super powerful, but usually done incorrectly by salespeople, especially order takers, is that you have to also understand the power and value of saying no. That honesty of telling people no is such an important aspect. Now, here's what happens. A lot of people get into sales and they think that their job is to convince, manipulate, close, push, trick, talk into, whatever that looks like, anybody and everybody that they have an opportunity to talk to. That gets magnified even more with organizations that, A, don't do enough training around mindset and sales process, sales strategies, and what it means to be a sales professional. They don't do enough training, education, continuing education, coaching, mentoring. They just kind of throw people out there and hope they figure it out. Compounded even more when we get into the numbers game discussion, which if you've been in sales for any length of time, you know that you dial up a bunch of people or talk to a bunch of people and you hear a bunch of no's. Then what happens is when you've got somebody, if you go through some of those streaks, you get somebody on the phone or into a meeting and you're talking to them and they're engaging with you enough, what happens is that scarcity side, that survival part of our brain that says, I haven't closed enough deals, or I haven't closed a deal in a recent enough time, I need this deal. And then we switch into this mode, which then is why sales has a bad reputation. When the salesperson gets into their own self-centered, self-interest mode, and we can all feel that. We can all feel when the salesperson is just pushing to close a deal, and you can tell that it's all about them. And it's even worse when it's not even a good fit. Again, I am looking for a blue pickup truck and this person is only selling red sedan cars, right? Like, it's not what I want. Stop trying to convince me that's what I want. Convince me that that would be a better idea. Like, that's not going to work. And that kind of, like, again, square peg, round hole, that isn't effective. And again, some people might buy from that. Some people might fall for it short-term. Long-term, they're going to cancel. They're going to return whatever they bought. It's not going to be effective long-term. It's not a good strategy. And we've all experienced that. Again, we've all experienced a moment where we know that this isn't what we want to buy. We know it's not going to help us. It's not a good fit. And that salesperson just won't stop. They're not listening to you telling them no, that you're not interested, not just not interested, but like, this is not what I want. And they just don't seem to get it. So the key is we don't want to do that. Obviously, as authentic persuaders, we want to be authentic. We want to persuade people. We want to persuade the right people to move forward and to buy from us, or we want to send them off in a better direction. And that's where this comes into it, and the power of saying no. Again, a lot of people who are in sales, who fell into sales, who don't have enough training and leadership and guidance and coaching, they think that they have to move everybody forward. They have to push people forward, right? Like everyone saw in Glengarry Glen Ross and then Boiler Room, like always be closing. This ABC is just this constant, and it's a mantra that people think that they need to do, that sales equals closing. If I want to be successful, I have to always be closing. Now, there is some part of that that could be true, that could be valid, but unfortunately, it's usually not wielded in the right way. And most people don't understand how to use that mode, always be closing, and what that actually looks like as a professional. And so it's just put into the wrong hands. And then it's dangerous and it leads to bad things for salespeople and for consumers. So that mode makes people think like, again, if I have anybody with a pulse who's talking to me for any length of time, I've got to sell them. I've got to move them forward, always be closing. That's not true. That's not good, especially if it's not the right fit. So what's the alternative? Well, the alternative is telling people no. The alternative is when you go through your empathy step, when you go through discovery, you're asking questions, you're probing, you're digging deep, you're finding out exactly what it is that they want or need at the deepest level possible. Then what happens is you determine as a professional if you can help them. Can you solve that problem? Can you help them achieve that goal? Can you help them up the mountain in a way that's beneficial for them? If the answer is no, then you want to tell them no. Most salespeople and then managers and then owners of companies that are struggling with their selling effectiveness, with their sales operation, and they just need more, they need their team to do more and more sales. They don't like the thought of people telling anybody no. But here's the fundamental thing. The reason why you've got to do that, the reason why it's so powerful and it's so important to do, because it's the right thing to do. That's it. Like literally we could stop the discussion right there. I won't, but we could. And it's the right thing to do. If I can't help you, if I can't provide some value in some way with what I'm selling, then why would I try to convince you that you should buy? I see it all the time. I see it with the sales reps at the clients who hire me at other companies, places where I go training. They think that they just got to push people forward and it just doesn't work. Again, the stats show that that person who's not a good fit, they will cancel. They will want a refund. They will return whatever they got talked into buying. The buyer's remorse will get them at some point. Could be as soon as they hang up the phone or leave the store. It could be 2 a.m. when they wake up in a cold sweat, realizing what they'd done. Could be a week later, but at some point that will come back. And the challenge is the salesperson's focused on now. I need to close the deal now. I need to make money now or hit my quota or avoid being fired. That's all that matters right now. I got to focus on now. Don't care what happens, right? I'll deal with later, or I don't even care if they cancel because I just want to sell this right now. So key is telling people no and the power of it. Now, let's talk about that. Let me arm you with some things that will help you feel and support you in knowing that saying no is the right thing to do. One is abundance. So let's talk about it from an abundance standpoint. So like I mentioned, is when you're playing the numbers game and you're feeling abused and beaten up by the numbers game, which means it's taken a lot of work for you to find any clients or anybody who might even be qualified or anybody who is willing to talk to you for more than 30 seconds before hanging up, then what happens is you get into the scarcity minded, which is, I don't know where my next deal is going to come from. I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know how I'm going to meet my quota. I don't know how I'm going to pay my bills. I just need deals. unfortunately, that sends you into a spiral. And then people can pick up on that desperation, right? Like if, and this is, I use relationship and courtship and dating things all the time, because a lot of people can relate to this, even if they don't see it in sales, we've all seen it in our personal life. And it's the same, right? Like I say all the time, everything in life is sales. And so is courtship. So is building relationship with someone, let's say romantically, right? There's friendships, but let's talk romantic. If you've ever met someone, or you know someone, you have a friend that is like this, where they are so desperately single, right? And I've had some people in my past that I've known like that, and they are so desperately single. All they want to do is find someone. The problem is that energy that they give off, and then the words that they use when they come across somebody who they could potentially go out with, and then they're trying to get that date or move things forward, that is usually so off-putting to the other person, because they can feel that desperation and they don't want that, right? Because then it's all about one side and not the other. It doesn't work. And then what happens is it just spirals. And again, we've all seen that. We all know what that's like. We've all had that friend, or we've been that person where we've just been so desperately single. It's just this death spiral. And I see that with a lot of salespeople where so they're desperate to close deals and then they spiral. And it's this scarcity, like I am never going to find somebody, right? I'm never going to find someone to date, never going to find someone to buy from me. And then the scarcity. The answer to that is trusting in abundance. And the best way, and this is what's even better in a sales career, is to understand your total market, right? There's some math. I have this in the book. Email me. I'm not going to get into all of it now, but email me, jason@cutterconsultinggroup.com. I will send you a worksheet on how to calculate essentially the abundance that you have in your selling career, right? Which it sounds funny to calculate the abundance, but being the analytical guy that I am, it's the best way I've helped people realize they don't have to be scarce and desperate. They can come from abundance. And really it's about figuring out based on how many deals you want to close, let's say a day, a week, a month, a year, career-wise, how much is that as a percentage of the total market or the total population, right? Again, same thing. If you're single and you're struggling to find someone, 7 billion people on the planet, half men, half women, it's pretty good odds, you know, there. It's not that no one's out there for you, you just haven't found that right person. And when we're talking about sales, that abundance helps that. So when it's not the right fit and you're in sales, abundance and trusting, like, okay, if I just keep doing what I know I need to do and doing the right thing and having the right conversations, I don't have to shove the square peg into the round hole. And that's what we're talking about here, is the power of no. So the abundance is important. Doing the right thing is so key. That's the best thing to do. Now, let's talk about power of no, leveraging no, but the dangers of no. So starting with the dangers of no, what I see a lot is people who are order taking in that mode in sales, and they're not strong, and they're not effective from a sales professional standpoint for what somebody would be doing at a high level in sales, right? So if you're watching that, it's perfect. If you know that's you, you could be closing more deals, you could be making more money, then that's perfect. A lot of times what I see is somebody in that mode when they are selling and they see someone who has some resistance to buying, or they're not sure if it makes sense, they easily tell people no, or they let people off the hook. And so that's the part where you've got to be careful and not just giving up too easily. Usually what happens is people aren't finishing the empathy step enough, digging deep enough, and they're just taking surface answers and then saying, oh, you don't qualify. Oh, you're not going to need this. Or when that prospective client pushes back in any way, right, and comes up with some objections, I see salespeople say, oh, well, this is probably not going to be for you. And I don't mean in like a takeaway way, not like they're trying to manipulate using the takeaway. I mean in a purely like, okay, this person obviously doesn't want it because they're asking a bunch of questions and this is hard and this is confrontational and no, right? That's what you have to be careful of. Because when I talk about the power of no and telling people no, sometimes people in sales are like, oh, okay, cool. That gives me a blank check where I can say no to people all the time because Jason said to do it and come from a place of abundance. And then it turns into this whole debate, like in the movie The Secret, which is, okay, so I just sit on my couch and think abundance thoughts and positive affirmations, and I'll get what I want in life. And that's part of the formula, but it's also about taking action, right? Like my mentor, David Meltzer, says all the time and repeats from somebody he heard it from, is the power of Goya, right? Get off your ass. It's not just about thinking positive thoughts and saying positive affirmations in itself. It's also about action, right? So there's two parts of that formula, just like our authentic persuasion, right? You got to be authentic, got to use persuasion, got to use them together in that order, and then there's success. So when you're telling people no, you've got to understand that when you're doing that, there's a reason, and it's just not something where you're taking that excuse and then saying, okay, I'm just going to wait for the easy deals. Because again, we're not going after the easy deals. The easy deals are already the ones that you're closing as an order taker, or if you're not hitting your numbers where you want to be in your career, it's most likely that it's usually the easy deals are the ones that you can relate to the most, but not the other percentage of ones that take some skill, right? Like if we look at baseball as a great analogy, there's some pitches that are thrown that are just so easy to hit, anyone can hit them, right? And everyone can hit them. And when that pitcher makes that mistake or throws that pitch, everybody has a chance to just crush that ball wherever they want, right? But it's the professionals, it's the high level, it's the Hall of Fame batters who can then hit a wide range of pitches, can hit most anything that's thrown over the plate in the strike zone that they can get contact with, right? Because they can read it and they know how to do what they do best, and then they make contact. And that's what we're talking about in sales, right? It's not just the easy ones. It's not just the easy pitches. It's not just the lay down clients who, you know, have no issues, no objections. That's not what we're talking about, because anyone can close those. Order takers can close those. Customer service reps could close those. We're talking about persuasion and helping someone move out of their comfort zone to make a change that benefits them. And that's really the key. So we've got to make sure we're using no in the right way and not just using it as an excuse to let people off the hook and then end up with bad sales stats and bad income and potentially being fired. Now let's talk about the power of no and the leverage of no. And here's the big key, is that there is a ton of power in saying no. And I will talk about the leverage part when we're talking about the customer, but I want to talk about you. I want to talk about you, the salesperson, because that's the key, is this is about you, right? We're talking about an authentic part. That's the key, is I want to help you, because if you're successful and you understand in your mind, then what happens is you can then translate that and take that with you. Here's the key, and I mentioned this earlier, is that a lot of people in sales think that their job is to move everybody forward, always be closing. They think selling is something I'm doing to you, whether you need it or not. I'm just supposed to sell you or everybody. I know it should be a good fit, but I'm just going to take advantage of every opportunity I can, right? Instead of sales being something I'm doing for and with you. When you're in that mode, and you're just trying to sell to everybody, or you think that you should move everyone forward, there will usually be a disconnect in your mind where you're like, oh, I know I shouldn't have sold that person. That wasn't good. I'm sure they're going to cancel, right? And so that usually will come back to you. Here's the key, though, is when you tell people no, there is so much power that will build up inside of you. And that's the important part. And it literally solves the how do you sleep at night question that either you will receive by potential customers or other people in your life when you tell them what you do or what you sell or what you're involved with. Or you just have that in your mind, which is like, what am I doing? And that's, again, because sales and selling has such a bad connotation, and it's just such a dirty word in the world that people have that thought. Here's the key, is that when you tell people no, it will differentiate yourself in your mind as somebody who's doing the right thing. And now, you usually don't want to say there's like good, bad, right, or wrong. But in this case, there is when you're helping somebody make the right decision for them. In my opinion, I will use the word that you're doing the right thing for them, the best thing for them. Now, if it is to buy from you, it's your duty and responsibility.
You need to help them move forward. If they shouldn't buy from you, if you can't help them, then you need to not have them buy from you. You need to send them off in a different direction. And that is the key. When you do that in your mind, you will know that actually, as a sales professional, you're doing the right thing for people. So when somebody comes across your desk or in a conversation or in a meeting, and you know you can't help them, you tell them no. And in your mind, you know you're doing the right thing. And that is storing up credits in your mind, which is so important. And the reason why that's so important is because there will be times when you need, as a sales professional, to persuade somebody who is stuck and you know that you can help them, right? And I say need, which again is a word I don't like to use a lot, but when I'm talking about you as a sales professional, it is your duty and responsibility to help people. It means you need to do that, right? Kind of like I talk about the doctor analogy a lot and compare how you should function as a sales professional in the same way a doctor does. If a doctor has diagnosed somebody and knows they can treat them, and that person says, no thanks, I don't want to do this treatment, that maybe is life-saving, right? Maybe is very necessary for their long-term health. And that person walks out without getting treatment or agreeing to next steps or whatever that looks like, that doctor will most likely feel like they failed as a professional to their oath, to their duty to help other people. And that's how you want to take that. And so what happens though, is that as a sales professional, when you're in that mode and you see someone who has a problem or a goal that you can solve, what happens then is that you will go into that mode. Now we're talking about ABCs, but in the right way. You'll go into that mode that will then feel like pressure, could feel like you're trying to get them to buy from you for your benefit, not for theirs. But in your mind, now you know it's for their benefit mostly. And then obviously you're going to win as well. So it's win-win. I've seen this so many times, is that I know I can help you. So for example, one of the first sales jobs I had running sales teams was helping people who are in credit card debt, get out of debt, get into consolidation, debt management, debt settlement, all kinds of things regarding their credit card debt. And I would routinely see people, $50,000 in credit card debt, 29% interest rate. They're paying the minimum payment. It literally on their statement says, if you make the minimum payment, it's going to take you 33 years to pay this off, more than a mortgage, right? They're not getting anything for it. They've already spent that money. Now they're just paying it back for a very long time. Then what happens is when someone like myself and people on the team, I would see that, I know I've got to help them. They're stuck. They haven't been able to solve it so far, obviously, otherwise they wouldn't be in this position. They need help. It's going to be difficult because people don't want to change. That's what kind of precipitated this authentic persuasion pathway, was those experiences and seeing what it took to move people forward. So anyway, so I know I can visualize those conversations. And many times I would say, okay, here's what we need to do. Here's the next step. We got to get you into this program. Here's why. Here's how it's going to help you relative to their goals. Many times, either to myself or to my team, that potential customer, that person's just getting crushed by debt, just underwater and has no idea how they're going to get out of it, would literally say, well, you're just trying to get me to enroll so that you can get paid, right? I'm sure you're on commission, which is standard. That's fair. That's unfortunate side about sales, is that when a salesperson is pressuring you to make a decision, it generally feels like it's for their benefit. But not all that pressure is wrong. Like, let's say you had a brain tumor and the doctor is pressuring you to get into surgery that day, right? Does that pressure feel like it's something that's going to benefit the doctor? Do you ever say, hey, doctor, are you just trying to meet your quota of brain surgeries this week? Like, is it the end of the quarter? Is that where this is coming from? Like, I don't understand what your urgency is, doctor. I don't get it. Like, why do you need me to do this now? Like, no, that's ridiculous. We would never say that. Like, if they did their process and diagnosed the issue and they can show that here's what it is, and then they're prescribing that solution, we don't say, hey, you know, what are you trying to do? Like, I don't get it. Like, is this some end of the month thing? Like, no, we wouldn't. But to sales, we do, because there's no professional standards. There's no requirements for salespeople to be ethical. And that's what's missing. And so that response is normal. Like the person with the credit card debt is, hey, you're just trying to do this so you can get a commission. Absolutely not, was always my answer, is I would tell them, if I can't help you, if this wouldn't benefit you, I would have told you no. And I'll usually reference, hey, I told three people no yesterday because of X, Y, and Z. They didn't have the right debt, enough debt. They had a different plan. Something was better for them. Or sometimes bankruptcy was better, right? Talk to a bankruptcy attorney because you're still not going to win even if you get into one of these programs. The power of telling the wrong people no then gives you the internal strength and the conviction that you know that if it was a no, you would tell them no. And if it's a yes and you're telling them yes, there is a strong reason and you're still doing it for them and not yourself. And I have found that is a game changer. That is a game changer because the more people you tell no to that are the wrong fit, again, square pegs, round holes. We're not talking about weak selling strategies. We're not talking about being weak at sales and telling people no or being afraid of closing deals. I'm talking about telling the wrong people no so that when you tell the right people yes, it's game on. That energy is different. Your conviction is different. Why you're telling them. And then you can do that. You can tell them that when they say and they push back and be always be prepared for this is, well, you're just telling me that because you want to sell me this, right? No, absolutely not. I'm telling you this because you need it. Based on what you told me, this is exactly what you need. This will help you get to where you need to go. And then you fill in the blank, right? Based on the conversation you had. I usually will also have the abundance conversation when people say that and say, hey, well, you're just telling me because you want to close. No. And when I used to be in the world of credit card debt and helping people get into different programs and nonprofit programs, it was like, there's 150 million people with credit card debt, right? I don't need to help you. There's enough other people out there. I want to help you. I'm telling you, this is what you need to do. But as soon as I hang up the phone, there's other people that are going to be calling in that I can help as well, right? So this isn't about me, this is about you. And you've got to put that in a way that sounds authentic for you and that fits with what you're selling, but that's the case. That's the energy and it's so important. And there's so much power in that, again, for yourself. There's going to be a lot of power that's going to come through in these conversations because you're going to mean it and you're going to know why you want to help that person and you know it's going to be beneficial for them. The key is though for yourself, right? The how do I sleep at night conversation is completely different when you know that you tell the wrong people no, and you know that you'll tell the right people yes, and your gloves are off against them and their comfort zone and what they're scared of because you care about them, which is why we talked about empathy first, right? Is that because you care about them and empathize with them, you're going to help them get to a better place and you're going to help them get unstuck. And then there's a ton of power in it. Now, last thing I want to cover for today is leveraging no. And this is what's fascinating. This is what's super fun for me when I tell salespeople this is you're going to have people you tell no. Obviously, it's a numbers game. You're not going to win them all. There's the ones that you're just not going to get because it's not a good fit. Well, there's a lot of leveraging in saying no when you tell somebody no. And the reason why is that most people aren't expecting it. If they're talking to you, a salesperson, they view you as a salesperson. They're worried about you as a salesperson. Again, we've had experiences enough. When you have any conversation with a salesperson, some level of guard is going to go up, right? Maybe not a lot. Some people have a high wall. Some people have a low one. Some people have a high barrier and they're afraid over here with this kind of a purchase. Other ones, they're fine over here. Whatever it looks like, if we know we're going into a conversation with a salesperson, we've got to be careful. We've got to be somewhat guarded. When you tell the wrong people no, and you say, it's not a good fit. I can't help you. Here's what you should do instead. That will literally blow their mind. I promise you, it's so fun to watch. So fun to watch from the outside when I'm training people and coaching them and helping them in their conversations and they do it. It's fun to watch that interaction from the outside because it's not what's expected. You're expecting always be closing as a customer. You're expecting that salesperson to just be coming after you with overcoming objections and handling this and pushing this and offering this kind of a deal and using this manipulation tactic and, you know, offering this end of quarter BS, like, that's what they're expecting. So we all expect. And when you tell somebody no, because it's not a good fit and you're doing the right thing for them, and you're leveraging the power of abundance because you know there's other people you can help. And that even if you convince them and manipulated it and tricked them and closed them today, it's not going to last. They're going to come back, or they're going to call and return it or cancel or block the charge on their credit card. They're going to do all kinds of crazy things. So when you tell them no, it will shock them. It will blow them away. It will literally surprise them because that's not what they were expecting. They were expecting always be closing, right? They were expecting Wolf of Wall Street. And then you showed them empathy and care and did the right thing for them. Now, here's where it's important. Here's where the leverage part comes in. Because you did that, it will blow them their mind, and they will actually start to see you, or they might fully see you as a professional who's doing the right thing for people and knowing that their professional reputation is on the line. So they want to do the right thing. They want to help people in the right way. That will be a total change. Here's the leverage part, is that you can completely leverage that into potential referrals and potential relationships down the road, right? And somebody says, what do you mean? No, I'm sorry, I can't help you. Here's why I can't help you. Here's the kind of people we can help. Here's a situation we could help. You're not in that situation. I can't help you. And here's what I suggest you do instead. They're going to be shocked, awed, amazed. They won't know what to do. Maybe they'll be speechless. And you tell them, hey, here's the key, is that if you know anybody else with X, Y, and Z parameter, or in this situation, or this issue, or this goal, I could probably help them. So if you come across anyone else, please send them to me. I'd love to help them, even if I wasn't able to help you. What's amazing is they will see you as a professional. It will be amazing. They will be excited to tell others about you. I have seen salespeople get so many referrals in their career from non-customers, from people they didn't even sell, because that person saw them as a professional and couldn't wait to tell other people about it. Let me give you a story. And I wrote about this in the book, and it was so fascinating to watch it from the outside. So my parents moved to a more rural part of California, up into the foothills on the way to Nevada, in a small town, in a small county population-wise. So they had an issue with their dishwasher. So my mom finds a local repair person that does appliances, has him come in. He looks at it and says, you need this part. It's about $5. And my dad, who's really handy and can fix a lot of things, basically said, hey, since you are handy and you can fix things, if you're up for it, if you go down to the local hardware store, you buy this $5 part, you replace this, might take you about 30 minutes and you're done. I could charge you, but I think you can do it on your own and I don't need to do that, right? Basically, that person said, no. Person said, you can handle this yourself. I don't feel right, or I don't need to, or the best thing for you, I care about, the best thing for you is to just fix it yourself. It's going to be way cheaper and easier than what I would charge you. My mom was so blown away from that, by that, just a lifelong caution, disdain, somewhere in that spectrum of salespeople, such that when she finds somebody like that who's doing the right thing and just cares about the right outcome, so amazing. And so what did she do? Anybody who asked about it, she said, you've got to call them, right? They will take care of you and they will help you. Saying no in that situation has led to so many referrals in that small community, and upholding that professional reputation in that small community, that it outweighs massively whatever that person would have charged my parents on fixing that one thing, whether it was $50 or $100. It has blown that away from a reputation and income standpoint. And so it's all about that long game. It's all about playing the abundance level. It's all about doing the right thing for people and then just doing that over and over again. And that is the leverage of telling people no, is then following up with, hey, here's who I can help. If you know of anyone, let me know. Being intentional about it, not just leaving it out there and hoping they send you those people, but actually tell them, like, here's why I can't help you. Here's why I'm not going to be able to. Here's what I suggest you do. Here's who I can help. If you find anyone like that or know of anyone, send them to me. I'd love to help them instead. And that's the key. And when we're talking about this whole empathy discussion and how you do sales and that point at which you know you can help somebody or not, it's so important to do that right thing for them and the reasons why. And when you do this, again, this is the whole point as I wrap up today. The whole point of this is to see yourself as a professional. What would a professional do? How would a professional operate? right? And when you can't help somebody, tell them no. When you can help somebody, it's game on, right? It's game on with you and them versus their fears, stuck in their comfort zone, other obstacles, other issues that come up, other people in their life that might get in the way. It's you and them up the mountain nonstop, right? And that's the key. And that's why, again, we started with the rapport. We talked about empathy. It's now 2 weeks of empathy. You think, okay, empathy is just easy. I care, right? Ask some questions. I got it. But this is the part that's so important. It builds the foundation. I'm telling you, when we get to the other parts, especially the last part of the authentic persuasion pathway, what you do here in this step is the most important thing. That's why I talked about last week, where if you have a limited amount of time where you're talking to somebody, spend most of it in this step: questions, probing, asking, empathy, caring. Spend most of it here. Literally everything else becomes easy. Literally everything else, when it comes to objections, obstacles, issues, concerns, things like that, they will either disappear or they will be infinitely easier to overcome when you do this step right. And so that is the big key. That's the big takeaway. If you want more information about this, if you want some tips on this, if you want help on asking questions, if you want some of the guidance around what I said when you tell somebody no and what that scripting might look like, always email me. I'm happy to help, happy to send you anything that I have or put something together for you that might help. Email me, jason@cutterconsultinggroup.com. Also, I'm super, super excited. Coming soon is the private group coaching program. So if you like this information, if you're like, hey, this is great, taking lots of notes, watching it, checking it out, either live or the replay, and you're like, this is amazing, but I have this question, or what would you do in this situation? Or how can I handle this? Or what should I say to that? Then this is for you. So make sure to go to jasoncutter.com. And then across the top is a link for joining the pre-enrollment waitlist for the private group coaching program. And I sent an email out to my list this morning for less than the price of a gas station coffee a day. You could join a community of people who are raising their hand and asking questions in a nice, safe, private place where we're doing it as a community, and people, we have weekly meetings and people are asking questions and supporting each other. And then we're just helping everyone become authentic persuaders, close more deals, make more money, and be successful in their life and as a sales professional. So if you want more information on that, go to jasoncutter.com, click the link at the top, or email me, jason@cutterconsultinggroup.com. And for people who are joining the wait list, I am also sending my ebook on overcoming objections. So you can read that and put some of those things in place, help you close more deals as well. And again, like I mentioned, if you want a free copy of Selling with Authentic Persuasion, Transform from Order Taker to Quota Breaker, email me, jason@cutterconsultinggroup.com, same email I keep mentioning. And then just let me know, I'll send you the link for the page for that. You just cover shipping. I'll sign it. I'll send it to you. That way you've got that and you can work on becoming an authentic persuader. Thank you everyone for tuning in. I'm watching this here. I'm, you know, mostly talking to the webinar group, also watching it on my phone. So I see John Welch. Thanks for tuning in there on LinkedIn. Appreciate that. Everyone else who tuned in live, thank you. And remember, each week I'm doing this noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific, 6 GMT on Fridays. And again, if you want to be a part of the conversation, you want to chat, you want to raise your hand, ask questions, make sure to find the Zoom webinar link. You can email me or you can find that online. And that's it for today. Hope everyone has a great weekend and I will see you next week.
That's it for the replay of the Authentic Persuasion weekly live training session. Again, make sure to catch them live Fridays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific. You can go to jasoncutter.com to sign up so you can get alerts, put it on your calendar and have the links for when it goes live. And you can always email me, jason@cutterconsultinggroup.com, and I can get you the information to sign up, as well as let me know any questions that you have, topics you want me to cover, or guides that you may be looking for. Thanks for tuning into the Authentic Persuasion Show. If you found value in this episode, please do two things. Subscribe so you can get each new episode, and share this episode with anyone else you know in sales. Together, we can help shift the way sales is done. And if you want to find out more information about how to transform your sales career, or you want help with shifting your sales team from order takers to quota breakers, go to jasoncutter.com. Don't forget that everything in life is sales, and I will catch you on the next episode of the Authentic Persuasion Show.